Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning, and I see we have some visitors here, and happy to have you with us. I want to also greet each one in Christ's name. That's the name of Jesus that gives us strength and power, and I'm just so happy for what Jesus has done for me and all of us. And this week, I have been also thinking about the church. When Drew was here last Sunday evening, he spoke about how the church is such a beautiful thing to God, and that stood with me all week, and I've been thinking about that a lot, that, you know, that's what I want to be doing, is I want to be building up the kingdom of God and really doing whatever it takes to make the church, to help the church, to assist the church be what God wants it to be. That's not what my message is about this morning, but I just wanted to share that. That is something that has been heavy on my mind, and I appreciate the emphasis on that this morning already. This morning, I want to speak about peace. And for a little bit of an introduction, if you'd want to turn to Mark chapter 4, read several verses there, just to give us a little idea of what peace can be in our lives, Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 35 through 41. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Jesus is talking to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I just like that picture of peace. Here this is, in the first place, Jesus was in the boat, told his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And the wind came up, a mighty storm, and it says the boat was full of water, probably about to sink. And I can't understand how Jesus could be, the boat could be full of water, and Jesus on a pillow sleeping at the back of the ship or the boat. I don't know how big the boat was. But it gives a picture of a very, very strong wind with the waves high and the ship about ready to go under. And the disciples and all that were with him in the ship were very fearful, scared. They thought they were worried about their lives. Jesus still sleeping. And then he says, Peace be still. And here, it just went calm. I can imagine that it was so calm that it was like glass. You see it that way sometimes. And it was such a calm. Peace be still. And then he asked, Why are you so fearful? The reason I want to share this message is because I see so many people, so much unrest in the lives of many people, and their life is a storm. And even though their life is a storm, they keep fighting the waves that are causing such trouble in their lives, that are causing such trouble in their souls. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. And so Jesus asked, Why didn't you believe in me? Why didn't you believe that I'll take care of you in the storm? And that's what Jesus is telling us today, that if we trust in him, there can be a terrible storm around us, a mighty storm, but we can have peace through that storm. Jesus will give us that. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, perfect peace for those who trust in God. Also, it says in John 14, if you remember, that one of the first verses in John 14, Jesus said, He told us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in him or believe in him. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then he talks about, in later in that chapter in John 14, that he says that I'll give you a peace, a special peace. It's a peace that the world doesn't offer. It's different. And I believe it's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that is not contingent on our circumstances. And so much of the peace that we see, in, even in our own lives and in our things that happen in our lives and the people around us, the peace that they have in their life is always contingent on something around them, their circumstances. This peace is different than that. Doesn't matter what's going on. If we trust in God correctly, we can have this peace that he speaks about, that he wants to give each of us. And the meaning of peace that I want to really speak about a lot is it's a freedom of mind, of annoyances, of distractions, of anxiety. It's a calmness, a stillness in our soul, in our hearts. Jesus offers that to each of us. We can have it. And as we think of that peace, there are two different kinds of unrest, that which I consider unrest to be the opposite of peace. That, and we want peace for those two different kinds of unrest. First of all, with having peace in our hearts, peace with God, because our hearts are right with him. Because Jesus has paid for our sins and we've accepted him, he gives us that peace. That's the most important peace, I believe, that any person can have. We all know that. We've been taught that. But we can have that in our life. And then there's the other piece where something's just not quite right in our life. Something is taking our peace away, maybe something of our circumstances. Most of the people of the world do not have peace like they could have. And that's sad, you think of that. There's most of the people of the world are living in this world without the peace they could have. And I believe also that there are many believers that don't have perfect peace. They could have a lot better peace in their life. Us as believers could have that. But we don't do that because we struggle like the disciples were of trusting God properly. And I know in my life it's easy for me to say, but it's hard for us sometimes to, when we're in the middle of the storm, to trust God like we need to. And allow God to give us that peace that he wants to. And I want to encourage us each by helping us to understand better how we can have the tools to deal with unrest and give us peace during the times of our life when we get kicked out of our box, out of our comfort zone. We just finished moving, and I know you all know that. I'm not telling you anything new. And, you know, I didn't recognize how long we had lived in that house, but it was almost 9 years. And so the first night that we had moved our furniture and everything, we were in my father-in-law's house, and we were getting ready for bed, and I didn't have peace because it felt like everything was all over. And as we were preparing for bed, I had to think, well, at least what should I do? I need something to calm my, so I can bring things together again. And I know some of you can, my wife doesn't get nearly as disturbed as I do about little things like that. But anyhow, I had to think about how we give our babies a nippy and a little blanket, and they can be anywhere, and they have peace. They go to sleep. And so I didn't have a nippy and a blanket, but but I needed something. So I found my alarm clock, and my alarm clock I could plug my phone into, and I put that beside the bed, and that gave me a little bit of bringing stuff together. I had a little peace. And that's very, very, shouldn't be that way. I shouldn't get so upset about little things, but I think that we all have those kinds of things in our lives where we lose that little bit of peace. I've also been thinking about the persecuted Christians, wondering how hard it is for them to have peace. It would seem very difficult for me to be like Pastor Saeed in prison. I wouldn't know how my family's doing. I would feel guilty about being away from my family, and it would seem so unrestful. But I believe that Jesus gives those people peace because his grace is sufficient. But I think they have to trust in him. Their faith has to become more strong going through those times. And God's grace is sufficient for us if we are faced with that kind of persecution. There are some verses in Philippians 4, if you want to turn with me to that. That is worth studying Philippians in our Sunday school lesson, but in Philippians 4, there's a couple verses that brings out how I really want to look at peace this morning on the subject of peace. Just a couple verses there, Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And I think that word moderation there is actually saying forbearance. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. Be a little more, don't be so set and structured that you can't forbear with other people. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. And I think the careful there would actually mean don't be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I think that the reason he's bringing out these verses, all these things that we should think about, are not, I have always taken these verses to think that I need to think on these things because that's good for my mind and I shouldn't think about things that are not bad. Well, that's true, but I think that he's really saying here that if we keep our minds on all these good things, that will give us peace. That it says in verse 9 then, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So I think that he's just bringing out the point there, what it takes for us to have peace, and we should have that peace in our lives. I'm going to stop there. So as we look at peace, we're speaking about a peace that comes from God. Like it says in John 14 again, Jesus says that he gives peace to people that believe in him. It's a special peace. And it's a lot different than what most people think of as peace, or especially as we think of peace in the world. And we know right now that they're not speaking of much peace in our world. They're speaking of a lot of unrest in our world. So this peace, Jesus says, I'll give you in the midst of all this unrest in the world that you're living in. Verse 7 of this passage we just read talks about a peace that passeth all understanding. This is a peace that I believe it comes from God. It's administered to the Christian through the Holy Spirit. And it's not explainable to the unbeliever. It's past the understanding of the unbeliever. And even we probably can't understand it like we would like to. Recently, I spoke to one of our workers and about having peace. It was obvious that he doesn't have peace. It's still obvious. But he came to me because he was in trouble. And he needed some time off to take care of his troubles in his life. And he also talked about addiction he has in his life. And he was telling me all the things that he's doing to change this in his life. I listened to him and I tried to understand and I tried to encourage him, and then he went back to work. And after a little time passed, I didn't offer Jesus to him. And I thought, well, he knows about Jesus. But I thought, well, I need to tell him. So I went out to the shop, and I pulled him aside, and I said to him that, you know, you are trying to change, and you told me you are, and I just want to offer to you or let you know that Jesus is what you need. He can help you. And he can give you that peace, and he can help you with all of these things that you're struggling with. He became so upset at me for saying that, and he didn't want to hear about religion. I told him it's not completely about religion. It's about Jesus. That didn't make him any difference. He was very upset. He lashed out at me and said a lot of bad words, and he was very upset. And it just proved to me the unbeliever cannot understand how Jesus can give a person peace. It's beyond them. it makes them, there's something that blocks them from understanding that. And I believe that that's what this is saying here, peace that passeth understanding. This peace that God gives us is administered by the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus and give their hearts to him. If a person has no faith or doesn't want to believe in Jesus, wants to put down that, they can't understand it. When we give our hearts to Jesus, when we surrender our hearts to Jesus, God comes into our hearts in a very special way. And he takes our guilt away and he gives us peace, overwhelming joy, and he gives us peace. And I believe it's very hard for people to understand that properly. When that burden of guilt comes away from our heart and our sin is lifted from our souls, we become a new people. We have joy in our hearts. We have peace. We don't have to live with that storm in our soul. We can have, Jesus has the power to give us peace in our lives. As he did when he said to the disciples that day, he told the waters, peace be still. That same power in the waters turned into calm. That same power, Jesus has that today. And it's for us. Any of us can have it. We don't have to go around with a storm in our life. We can have peace in our life, even if there's a storm around us. The more we put our trust in Jesus, the more peace we have. And it doesn't matter what situation we're going through to have it. I believe that's what this writer is saying, what Paul is saying when he wrote this, that we can have that. It doesn't matter if we're poor or rich. It still takes the same faith for us to have that peace. It doesn't matter if we get kicked out of our box or in any area of our life where we're out of our comfort zone. We can still have that peace when we're going through those times of turbulent times. We can have that peace. Verse 6 says that we should not be anxious about anything, but tell Jesus about all those things that trouble us. We have so many things in our life that take away our peace, and I think it is good for us to take inventory of those things that take away our peace. I know every person is not the same. We all are different. There are different things that are different that take away your peace, that take away mine. But when it comes down to the base things, they're the same kinds of things. Maybe some people have takes a greater degree of things to disturb them than others. But even still, we all come to a place in our lives where our peace can be taken away easily. And we need to look at those areas in our lives. But I want to clarify something first. There are things that take away our peace in that take our peace away that I think that we need to thank God for. Because if our conscience is working properly, and when my conscience tells me and it takes my peace away, those things we should thank the Lord for. That means that we're using our conscience properly. We're not just letting things go. I don't want peace if I'm in the wrong. I don't want peace if I'm doing things that are not right. Like if I'm if I'm lukewarm in my Christian life, if I'm not following Christ like I should, I'm glad I don't have peace, because then I know that he's drawn me back to him. Or if we have something tangible, that something little, well, I'll give you an example. On the way to church this morning, we passed up a hitchhiker. And Judy actually hauled that hitchhiker a week or so ago, and she was very scared of him. But this morning, as we passed him, I thought, I should pick him up. Then I thought, no, I'm not picking him up. My van is full. I need to get to church. And I had all these reasons. But I lost my peace because I wasn't sure that I should pick him up or not. Maybe I should have picked him up. And so we go through those times when we don't know for sure, and it goes away. But we seek God through those times, and we find out why we don't have peace about. We come to a decision, and we change our mind till we do get that peace back. But I'm thinking more of the peace takers that we need to take inventory of in our life and deal with them and give them to Christ are more simple ones. maybe for mothers it could be just simply school lunches the next day. Or maybe for fathers it's your monthly bills, or your debts. Or maybe it's just thinking about Monday morning work on Sunday evening. That's one I have. I have that one all the time, and I hate that one, but it takes my peace away. And maybe for kids it's homework, just that they bring home. Homework can take peace away from kids, I noticed. And it's because we're trying to fix these things without fixing them. We want to have peace without taking care of them, without giving them to God or else dealing with them. And I think sometimes we need to reckon with those things in our lives and not just put them off and let that unrest abide in our lives. One thing I try to do in my life is when I the very moment that I start dreading something because I know this is going to take my peace away or whatever, I try to give it to God right away. And I don't always do very good, but I've been doing better than I have 10 years ago, I will say that. Another practical tool I just sort of already said, but is to retrieve peace, is eliminate the problem that's causing unrest in your soul, whatever it is. And it may pop up just like that, and sometimes I'll be going through life a day, and all of a sudden, I don't have peace. Something's bothering me. What is it? And I sometimes can't even understand what it is completely until you go back and you start taking inventory. What is it? And usually there's something, some little thing that's not that big of a thing that's unresolved that I need to resolve. And I think that God wants us to resolve those things quickly, as good as we can. Take care of that problem. And, you know, sometimes we think that we just need to turn it to Jesus and we need to pray about it and read our Bible more and those things will go away. Well, that's not true. Sometimes it's in our position, it's in our hands to just resolve it, take care of it, and we can have the peace back. There were a group of young men that I read this story. They were planning on sailing around the world. They were younger men, but they had been planning for some time. And one of those men was very nervous about sailing around the world. And so he committed this to prayer. He prayed about it. He read his Bible extra much, and this was his testimony. And he kept doing this, and it was getting closer when they were supposed to embark on their sailing, and he still didn't have rest. He didn't have any peace. And finally, all of a sudden, it dawned on him one day that, you know, I've been praying and I've been doing all these things, but what I haven't done is I don't know anything about sailing. I don't know the first thing about sailing, and that's what's causing me all the unrest. So he decided, well, I need to go learn about sailing, experience sailing in a small way. That will help. And I think in our lives, that's the way it is many times. We just need to go take care of that thing that is causing us, and I'm not trying to put down prayer. I think that we need to give it to Jesus first. But sometimes we can go through life thinking Jesus can take care of all of our problems, and we don't wonder why all of our trust in him is not working when we're having a hard time, when it's in our hands to actually fix it. It's our responsibility. There's one more thing this passage talks about that I didn't read about in Philippians, where it talks about contentment. And I think that discontentment is a big peace taker in many of our lives, especially, well, I don't know difference in America or any other country, but I think people can be discontented anywhere they are. And I have had too many times in my life when I wasn't content, and I stepped outside of my limits of having peace because I convinced myself I really needed something when I actually didn't need it. Being content where God has us right now and being content with what we already have sustains peace in our lives. A number of years ago, I bought I was looking for a hunting rifle for one of my sons, and I went and was at the Black Sheep store one day, and I saw this nice rifle, and it wasn't bad priced. And I bought it. And on the way home, I was like, that wasn't the gun that I really was planning on getting, and I went and had used my credit card to buy it. And as I got, the more closer to home I got, the more unrest I had. My peace was totally leaving. And so when I got home, I wrapped the gun up in the box a little more carefully and took it back the next chance I got, because that brought my peace back. And I think we have to do that. We have to choose to be content to have peace in our lives. So my challenge to all of us this morning is to have God's peace in our hearts. Don't let our circumstances or our troubles take it away. We all know what takes away our peace, whether it's sin or the small things that annoy us. But Jesus offers us peace and gives us the tools to have peace regardless what we are going through. There will never be peace in this world. This world was always going to be upside down and troubled. And we're going to see a lot of troubles. And sometimes we're going to be going through an extra amount of storms than normal, where the wind is blowing hard. And Jesus offers us that peace during that time. He has the power to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. And I'm thankful that when we get to heaven, we will be in a peaceful setting. And there will not be anything that can rob us of that peace. Praise God for that. But we can have a peace here on earth that only God can give us, a peace that passeth understanding. And it's for those whose mind is stayed on him because he trusteth in God. It's a perfect peace that Jesus wants to give us. As believers, he wants to give us a perfect peace. Our lives should be a testimony to Jesus, to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, to our church, other church people we go to church with. But even more than that, there are many people in the world that don't have, most of the people in the world do not have peace that they could have. And if we can have that peace in our lives, if we can be faithful, if we can trust God to give us that peace and to not let our world be upside down and of all this unrest that we're not willing to let go of and resolve in our lives, we can't be the testimony to other people that we could be. If people can see in our life that we're going through the most terrible storm, and yet they can see a peace and a calm in our souls, in our hearts, that is a big testimony to the world around. And people are looking for that. There's a big vacuum out there for people wanting that in their lives while they're going through that. So my challenge, again, is for us to trust God for those things that take away our peace, that we can't change. Don't procrastinate on the things that we can change, that are peace takers. We take care of these things, God will give us real peace. And I hope that each of us can trust the Lord for that peace as we live in this troubled world. We live in a very troubled world right now. And we have been, but sometimes it seems even more. And I think right now the things that we're hearing on the news about what's going on in our world, pretty troubling. And sometimes we can become very fearful because of it. But I think that we don't have to. I think more than now, if we can be faithful and trusting God to give us that peace, we can really help out a lot of people in our community, in our own church, and the people around us. So I just want to encourage us to have that, to do that. I believe I'll close with that.